Hello and welcome to Kat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. I finally got my laptop back. Yes, it's from 2014. So the problem was the battery needed replacing and it had to be brought in to have its system checked. It wouldn't reload by itself. So I had to bring it in to this tech store and they made sure that the system downloaded and that everything was up to date. It wouldn't do it by itself. And me not really being good at computers, I brought it to somebody. Yes, it was like $300, but he said the drive was still in really good shape. And it is a pretty good laptop. So I'm like, okay, $300 is better than brand new. So anyway, now I can record again. I didn't have it for a week. But luckily, I still had my phone, so it's not like I was without anything. And isn't it crazy how we're so reliant on these devices? You know, if I didn't have my laptop or my phone, I'd be lost, like for real. And it's kind of sad. Like, I remember using MapQuest, but because I didn't have a phone or a Garmin, remember Garmin in your car, which was so big, I remember having to write down the directions before I drove anywhere. So I don't know if you had to do that, if you remember that, but it's crazy now how much we use the phone for everything. This week was kind of crazy. Let me retell the story. I had a colonoscopy today. And I'll have to talk about the lead up to that. Basically, when you're 45, you have to go in for a colonoscopy. And me having insurance, I took full advantage of that. I even asked, like, what else does this insurance cover? So I'm going to the chiropractor. I've got physical therapy for my hand. Because I do have carpal tunnel and arthritis. Cool. I feel like the episodes now are just about me going to doctors. Yes, I'm still baking. Yes, I'm still doing that. Even though today I can't go to the farmer's market because I did my colonoscopy. And this doctor only does colonoscopies on Tuesdays. So, okay. I think a colonoscopy is more important than a farmer's market. So I had to cancel that. A couple weeks ago, I bought this prep for the colonoscopy. Like, I had a visit with the doctor, which I talked about, and he prescribed me this prep. The prep is a sodium sulfite, potassium sulfate, and magnesium sulfate oral solution. So I had to pick it up, and then I had to wait a couple weeks and take it the night before the colonoscopy, which was yesterday. So at first I read the directions wrong, and I thought I would have to take it earlier in the day, but I had to work earlier in the day. So I ended up buying this disposable underwear in case, basically, I didn't make it to the toilet in time. But I had no idea what to expect. I reread the instructions and it said after work. Like, it didn't say after work, but it said 6 p.m. is when I start. And luckily, I got back from work at 3 p.m. So I just started taking it after work. So what happened was you have to take this, you know, you drink it. You empty a bottle, you get two bottles, you empty a bottle and you top it off with water, and then you have to drink this solution within an hour. Didn't taste good. It just had this weirdly fake sweet metallic flavor. I don't know. It didn't taste good. Like, kind of salty, kind of weirdly sweet. The minute it went down, my stomach started to bloat, and within 40 minutes, I had to start going to the restroom. So basically what this solution does, it empties your colon. So a colonoscopy is a camera in HD, goes up your butt, and it checks for polyps. So polyps are small growths. They can be cancerous, but they typically take a good 10 years to grow into something that can cause trouble. You know, that can cause blockages and other issues. And you have to start getting your colon looked at age 45. If someone has cancer in your family, colon cancer, you do it earlier. So since I have the insurance, I'm like, okay, let me do this. Basically, the solution cleans you out. because when everything's full in your colon, they can't see what's going on. They have to see the lining of your colon and everything. So what the solution does, I don't know, it just creates, like, you drink a bunch of water with this solution. So 2 big glasses with this solution, and it just makes you go like water coming out. And it's really disturbing because I had to go every 3 minutes. Like, I'm so glad I was home. I couldn't have imagined being at work for this because I would have just be sitting on the toilet, you know? And it's just straight up, like, it sounds like straight up water coming out. The more you go, like, the less your bloating gets. This solution takes about 2 hours to come out. And in the process, it dries out your throat. So you're constantly drinking, creating more water, which is good because this whole process dehydrates. By the time the 2 hours is over, I was just tired. You know, like, it was exhausting, this whole thing. And it still wasn't very clear. So what needs to happen is that you can see the bottom of the toilet, and then it means it's clean enough. Like, some people have constipation, some people, it may not be cleaned very easily. If it's still not clean, they have to cancel. So I was nervous about that because I don't want to do all this prep and then have to cancel. Yesterday, I was super tired. And also, you can't eat, right? So when you start taking this stuff, you can't eat because there's no point, right? The point is, this stuff cleans you out. So when you eat, it's just going to have food in there on top of it, which also has to come out. So starting last night, I couldn't eat anything else. Also, I didn't have a huge appetite. Like, everything just felt weird and not good. And then this morning, I had to take another bottle with the same thing. You have to start taking it 3 to 4 hours before you go in for the procedure. So I woke up at 5:30. I took it at 6. And then the same thing. It wasn't as bad as yesterday because I didn't eat anything else. So there wasn't much in there. But basically, this morning cleaned out the rest. In the end, what's in the toilet, it just looks like pee. But, you know, obviously it's not. But you're like, great. This is a great episode. you know, honestly, I think it's important to talk about this stuff because people don't really talk about these things, you know? Like, these are normal procedures that you have to do for preventive care, which is so important, and I'm so glad I did it. But nobody talks about the details of it. And since this podcast is just about my life, pretty much, you know, because yesterday I worked, I made all these beautiful desserts, and then I'm dreading coming home and taking this stuff. But I was already not eating a lot for lunch. So I had a hard-boiled egg. I had this beef broth. I bought this bone broth because I'm like, okay, let me just eat basic. I didn't want to eat anything crazy because in the end, it's just going to make it crazier later. So I already started not eating very much. And next to that, I started, I don't know if you ever heard of Noom, N-O-O-M. I want to do this weight loss program, okay? I'm not super heavy, but I've gotten heavier for me, for what I'm comfortable with. I find that since I've moved here, I think most of it is the stress. And also at work, you know, I really have a hard time with the sugar. It's something that I really have to try and not eat. Like, I truly have an addiction and it's testing me to the core. I'm trying to use these methods. Okay, what if I start something where I have to log in my breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then maybe I won't have to want to eat sugar. And then I'll be like, oh, just one cookie. Oh, just one taste of this custard, you know? So anyway, this program comes with medication. I started this medication. It's called metformin. It is a medication that's been around for a long time, but it started for people who have type 2 diabetes. They would take this and it would help control their blood sugar. I don't have diabetes, you know, knock on wood. I mean, I don't, but I never want to get to that point. So I'm really trying my hardest to stop, you know, stop with the sugar now. But metformin also has other positive effects if you don't have diabetes. So I've started taking it and I've noticed that it has diminished my cravings. It did give me headaches for a couple days. I started with a low dose. I do have to increase my dose. I started with 500 milligrams. Anyway, I've just noticed that because I work so early in the morning, I have my protein shake, you know, and I log in all my meals. I take my medication and then I go to work and it makes me just not crave, which is a huge deal for me. I haven't lost any weight. I think I will if I continue with the no sugar thing. You know, ultimately, I want to do it for my health because getting older, my metabolism's slowing down. You know, I'm getting hormonal issues with my thyroid, like all these other problems, right? So sugar is really not helping with that, you know, and that's my one addiction. So anyway, I started this whole thing. So I've already started eating better as far as eating less sugar, eating less desserts. Like I'm trying not to fully cut out everything overnight because then it's your mindset, right? Like if you say, oh, I'm not going to have this at all, and then you do, you feel like you failed. So I'm not trying to do that. You know, it's okay to have a little bit just in proportion. I just really feel motivated because I'm always active. I've always been active, but just because you work out more doesn't mean you're going to lose weight. You know, stress builds into all of that a lot. And I feel like I do have more stress now, like different stress, you know? So anyway, I did get invited to this meeting, to the school where I'm supposed to teach. And it turns out that the pastry chef I'm supposed to be teaching for, like taking over for, he's not leaving. He doesn't want to leave. So I guess he was on this list to get a new liver or kidney, something like that. But the list got postponed and he has a 2-year wait. And I guess now more than ever, he's staying because of the health insurance. Like the school is union and you can't just fire somebody or push somebody out because of their age or whatever, which I understand, like that's good. But it's frustrating for me because I was hired to do something and now that's not happening. So the staff there doesn't want me to go. So they're trying to start subbing me into other classes. But I was supposed to teach twice a week and now it's maybe, you know, randomly a couple times a month or something, which is not what I expected, but that's it, right? Like life never turns out how you plan. Like never. Honestly, if I look back, nothing has turned out the way I planned. I mean, I wouldn't say things have turned out worse or better. It's not worse or better. It's just you handle things day by day, you know? Like things get thrown at you. But it's never like, oh, okay, this is starting then, and that'll be great. You know, no, it's not like that. It's like, I don't know when I'm starting. I'm just basically starting a substitute. I have a couple dates in March, you know, but it's definitely not how I planned that. I was hoping to teach sooner because it would solve some money stress. But okay, you know, just again, deal with things one by one. I did speak to the pastry chef. I don't know, it made me feel kind of like an idiot being there. You know, because I was hired to do this. And I'm sure he knows that I'm there to take over for him. And now I don't have anything. I don't know, I almost felt like out of place. Or, I mean, he has medical issues, like big issues. But I don't want to be that substitute on hand. You know, I want something permanent. But I guess that's hard to come by with these schools because they pay well and it's hard to get into because people keep their jobs forever. And I understand because baking and being in the industry is tough. You know, when you find something good, you stick with it. Anyway, as I was talking to him, I noticed he was missing an ear. And I was like fixated on that because he had glasses, and I was wondering, how are his glasses staying up? obviously, with his other ear. But it was just like, he was talking to me. I couldn't really tell you what he said because I was fixated on his missing ear. And, you know, obviously, if you don't have an ear, you have a hole in your head, because obviously at some point he had an ear, right? But something happened. So anyway, I was just like fixated on this. So we did this meeting. It was the whole faculty, and they were talking about things that they would like for the school, new equipment, possibly different classes, etc. So I was basically there to meet everybody and to figure out what's going on. After that meeting, the exec chef, he was telling me that they want to get me in, but it's basically going to be until somebody is out of class for, you know, a couple days or whatever. And I guess this pastry chef will have some procedures done and then they'll need me to come in. But, you know, I don't know when that's going to be. So it was disappointing as well as, okay, like this is just what happens, right? Like, has anything ever gone the way I thought it would? No. Sometimes things turn out better, or just sometimes things happen without you realizing it's for the better. Like, for example, last week, I needed more money. Well, I always need more money. But last week, on Thursdays, I was going to work the farmer's market because now there's two markets a week that I could do if I don't have a shift at the hotel. So I was planning on working this market. The day before, the chef at the hotel messages me asking if I wanted to pick up a shift for Thursday because some people have gotten sick at work. So then for a second, I was caught off guard because the reason I'm doing this farmer's market on Thursdays is if I don't have a shift at the hotel, you know, but I was kind of amped up for this market. I was excited because the previous week I made almost $500, which is really good. You know, so I was kind of excited for that. But then I thought, okay, I need to work a minimum number of shifts at the hotel to maintain my insurance. And that's what's important, you know, ultimately. So I picked up the shift. So then I worked. And then the following week, I heard from people that went to the market got canceled because of the strong winds. And it turns out that people who brought all their stuff to sell had to go home. Like, they set everything up, but then the winds were so strong that tents were flying and they packed right back up again. So here I am thinking, wow, like, had I brought all my stuff, I would have paid money to make everything in the morning, right? To work at this kitchen for my food cost and my time, and then show up at the market and not even sell anything because I would have had to pack up because of the winds. So I'm like, wow, like this really worked out and I'm so happy, you know, because I totally would have gone to the market. But this is what I mean. This is just a small example of you never know what happens if you do this thing. Just because you planned to do this other thing doesn't mean it's going to work out the way you thought, you know, and this is exactly what's happening with the teaching. Like, I got hired to do this last August, you know, and here I am, like, still waiting to do it. And I mean, if something else comes up that's better for my situation, yeah, I'm gonna take it. I guess for the moment, I'm just gonna keep doing what I'm doing, be open to opportunities. Like, I'm doing what I can do. And right now, I'm just trying to go to all these doctors, make sure I'm healthy, make sure everything's good, and just feel my best. Yes, here I'm less active than I was in Aspen, because there it's so easy to be active. You know, you're already in the wilderness when you walk out of your door. I mean, I used to bike ride even to work and back. You know, I didn't have to sit in a car. Like, it's just different living in a city. You have to make the effort to go to the gym, to walk outside, you know, it's just different. And if you have two different jobs, there's limited time, you know, and you're sitting in the car more. So anyway, I'm trying to figure all that out. So back to the colonoscopy. I show up today. I get there with an Uber because someone has to pick me up. I cannot go home in an Uber or public transportation because they give you a drug to sedate you. So I show up. They call me in. I sign all these waivers. Basically, if something happens to me because they sedate me, I have to write if I have a will, which I don't, but I guess I need to look into that. Like, right? Like, if something happens to me, I need to have a will. I basically have to sign all these forms so that they don't get sued for whatever. And then I have to take off my clothes, put on this, I don't know, apron style thing, you know, that they have at hospitals where the back is open. And I lay down. The nurse comes in. She gets my heart rate and she sticks some things on my chest, and there's an IV next to me. She starts an IV with fluids and fentanyl. So fentanyl is a pretty hard drug and I've never had it before. She's like, you're going to feel really good and just sleepy, you know, and she's like chatting with me. My blood pressure's good. Everything's perfect. I had never had an IV before. So then I start to feel a little bit sleepy, but I'm still like awake. She rolls my bed into a room and the doctor's there with some other nurses. All I remember is that they ask me to turn on my side, like on my left side, in a fetal position. I close my eyes and they're like, we're not going to start anything until you're asleep. And I swear, like 10 seconds later, I was asleep. Like, that's all I remember. I was out. And then, next thing I know, I'm feeling something, like, in my butt. like, I'm feeling something, and I'm like, oh, I guess they're doing the procedure. Like, I think it was toward the end. I don't think I felt anything during. And then I woke up, and all I heard was, all done, you did great. And then the doctor said, you were super clean. Like, oh, that's good. And then he said, we found 4 polyps. You know, so polyps are these little growths. And one was larger, like one was 7 millimeters, which if they're bigger than 6 millimeters, they're kind of on the large side. So polyps typically grow slowly. For something to be 10 millimeters, it can take about 10 years. You know, I'm sure things can grow faster, but it's just the cells are multiplying faster. When they were in there, they took everything off, like they cut it off, and the 7 millimeter one was larger. So they cut it off and then clipped it with a metal clip. And then I guess in a couple weeks, I'm going to pass it out, you know? So, okay. It was just so weird because he showed me pictures of the inside of my colon, and it's so alien to me, like seeing these pictures, looking at it, I'm like, oh, this is inside my body. You know, it's so strange. And I don't know if I have a relation to this, you know, but everything looked super clean. And then they showed pictures of the polyp and then they showed where they were. So I don't know, I was a little disappointed hearing that I had 4. Like, to me, that's kind of a lot. But someone at work said they had 14. So I'm like, oh, thank God I don't have 14. like a friend of mine had 2. Like, this is what happens at, you know, when you start having these procedures. It's like you start comparing polyps, right, from other people, which I'm like, great. So yeah, I had 4 and one was 7 millimeters. The other were like 1 to 2, very small. But that could mean that I've already had this polyp for about 7 years, you know, and it started growing. But at 10 millimeters, it can start causing problems and it can start creating blockages like digestive issues. So I'm so glad that I got it. You know, I mean, it's so scary to me that these things can happen inside your body and you don't know. I mean, that's why preventative care is so important. I mean, how horrible is it to wait for something to go wrong and then get it checked out because you didn't have the means or the insurance to do it before? You know, so I just feel really lucky. that I was able to do it. Like, yes, the prep for it was horrible, but in the end, like, worth it. I mean, digestive issues are always horrible, like bloating, not being able to go, like constipation. I mean, these are awful things. I mean, so much can go wrong inside your body, you know? I didn't feel a thing, you know, obviously just toward the end, I felt something on the other side of me. And then they showed me pictures and I was super drowsy because of the medication. So they had me get dressed with someone in the room, but she was like turned the other way, you know, just in case I needed someone to lean on to put my shoes on and all this. And then I sat there and I waited for my husband to pick me up. And they told him everything because I was drowsy. So in case I forgot, so they told him everything and he picked me up. And I was such a, like, I felt really good because I was on the drugs, but also just like a robot, you know, like I was walking really slow. I wasn't really all there. So I got in his van and we went out to eat because I was so hungry. I hadn't eaten anything and my mouth was dry because 3 hours before the procedure, you can't even drink water. So after the procedure, they gave me this like Chex Mix and water. And anyway, so we went to California Fish Grill and I got this grilled catfish with this like kale salad. I was so good. I was so hungry and it just tasted so good. And then he went to McDonald's and we got this vanilla cone. And I felt like this little kid, you know, who survived this operation or something, and now I get rewarded with this ice cream cone. But it was so good. Like, everything just tasted really good. Have you ever been that hungry where just everything tastes so good? You know, like I had that last week. I had my day off, and my husband isn't really into Thai food. I really love Thai food, and I don't have it very often, you know, because now everything's like more Brazilian, right? So on my day off, I thought for lunch, I'm going to go to the Thai place and get a green curry. And I got, like, it was mild and it has a lot of vegetables in it. And then I got it with tofu and brown rice, you know, and I enjoyed it so much and really just was so thankful for this green curry. It tasted so good. We're so used to eating and just knowing that flavor that I think sometimes we don't really take the time to just really savor each bite. And I had missed Thai food so much that I savored every single bite. It was so, so good. You know, so today I was like, oh my God, let me get that green curry again. Like, I thought my husband would just drop me off and then he would go back to work. But we had lunch, which was really nice, and the fish was really good. And then he dropped me off, and he had to go back to work. But I couldn't do the market, and I was still a bit, like, dazed when I got home. But it quickly wore off, and I ended up making this lemon cheesecake. Because I'm like, if I end up working a farmer's market on Thursday, I need another item to sell. So I'm like, oh, let me just put that together. Like, I don't know where I got this energy from. But I guess if I'm not baking, like, for a day, you know, I have to do it all of a sudden. I don't know. I just, it's in me, right? Like, I'm not baking it for me or dessert. I'm baking it for the market. And my husband's always like, do you have something, like, for dessert? I'm like, no. He's like, well, what about inside that freezer chest? I'm like, it's not for us. It's for things to sell. And he'll be like, well, I'll sell you $5. I'm like, that's not the point. I need items to sell, you know? So I can't just show up with like small amounts. So I guess he gets a little frustrated because he likes his sweet snack. And that's also hard because I'm trying to be better, but then he wants something sweet. So at home, it's easier for me to have control than it is at work. I don't know why. I have no idea why. Today, when I got home, I decided I'll pick up my laptop. You know, I was starting to feel a bit better. I picked up my laptop and got that taken care of. And then I walked to the park and just laid on the grass and took like this small 20-minute nap. It was so nice. The park is just like 2 blocks away. The sun came out and it was perfect. Last week, I had Saturday off and I wanted to go on a hike, you know? Like typically I work weekends, so my husband and I kind of have opposite schedules. He'll tend to have a day off during the weekend and I don't. I usually have off a Wednesday. So we rarely have a day off together, which isn't great. You know, it makes things harder because then we only have a few hours when either of us get home to spend that time together, you know, and we tend to maybe just watch TV or have dinner, you know, so there's not a lot of time. So it was important for me because I had off a Saturday. Let's do something together. Let's go on a hike. And so I found this hike. It's called Torrey Pines. It's 25 minutes more north along the coast. So we drove there and it turns out it was the last day of this golf tournament, which I had no idea. But all these cars are there, everything's packed. And I'm like, wow, people really want to go for a hike today. Realizing later, oh, it's for the golf tournament. We found a place to park along like the street somewhere. We walk along the ocean. It was kind of a bit windy, but then we go uphill up this trail and we walk along this trail along the coast on the cliffs. It was so beautiful. You could see the coast from above and just the blues. It was such a beautiful view, you know. So we were walking for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. So what happened, like this was on a Saturday, but on the Friday, we had a Brazilian barbecue. Surprise. So one of our friends was moving to Las Vegas, like a good close friend. So we wanted to be able to say goodbye. So he bought some things. We bought some things. I made Brazilian flan, which is really just like any other flan, you know, except you use more condensed milk, so it's sweeter. But I didn't use as much condensed milk. Still, it was just as good. It doesn't have to be crazy sweet. Anyway, we had a Brazilian barbecue and grilled outside. And then it started getting cold and we moved inside. So like my husband made all these ribs. They had been cooking for like 5 hours before. You know, we had all this food outside. We had this grilled cheese. Like everything was super delicious. And we were just eating a lot. Like my husband was also drinking beers. Like everyone was drinking beers. And then I'm like, let's karaoke. You know, so my husband, he got this karaoke machine for Christmas. And we started karaokeing. And it was so funny. I don't know. I just think, how is karaoke not fun? Like, it's always going to be fun. And even before, my husband said, no, they're all guys. They're not going to want to karaoke. And in my head, I was like, oh, yes, they will. And they totally did. And it was so much fun. Like, we laughed a lot. But then that night, my husband's like, oh, my God, I ate so much. I'm not feeling good. He went to bed. You know, everybody left. And then the morning, he's like, oh, I'm not feeling too good. You know, I'm like, okay, why don't you relax? And then in an hour, we'll go on a hike. Like, you know, And I thought, okay, we better go on this hike early because that way at least we went outside. You know, because how would that suck if we both have this time off and we don't end up doing anything? You know, but then he just wasn't feeling good. He ate something and then he started feeling a bit better. Anyway, I didn't realize how not good he was doing, okay? Because we start hiking and we feel like good, you know, we're hiking uphill, downhill, along the cliffs. And then later on, he's like, oh, I'm not feeling that good, you know. But I guess the adrenaline of hiking and just being active, being outside, like he did feel good. Like I felt really good. I was so happy we were outside. So then I drive back, we get home, and he's like, oh my God, like I'm feeling not good. And shortly after, he starts vomiting, like bad. Like he goes to the bathroom He's so loud vomiting. Like, it's not sounding good. Okay. He does this like three times, like vomiting with maybe 10 minutes in between. And then at the same time this is happening, I look outside on my patio and I see this tiny bird flew onto one of my mouse traps. So I have this rat trap. It's just like the sticky pad. And I have this rat, right, in the patio somewhere. And it's eating. It's still eating my plants. So I can't put out like parsley or basil. Like, it loves all that stuff. So I'm trying to catch it. But instead of catching this annoying rat, it caught this tiny, cute, adorable bird. And here it is trying to get away. It's damaging its wings. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I go outside the same time as my husband is like horribly vomiting. And I'm like, oh my God, like, what have I done? And I slowly get this bird off of this trap, but like feathers are stuck to it. And I'm like crying as this is happening. I'm like, oh my God, I'm such a terrible person. You know, like, its wing is damaged. It can't fly anywhere. It keeps rolling on its side. Its feet are all fucked up. And I'm like, oh my God, like, this is a nightmare, you know? And meanwhile, in the background, my husband's like horribly vomiting. And I'm like, oh shit, like, what do I take care of first, you know? Like, obviously, there's not much I can do for my husband at this point, right? He's in the bathroom. So I start taking the bird off of this trap. And I'm just, like, crying as this is happening because the bird can't do anything. My husband comes out after vomiting and he's like, what happened? And I'm like, this bird, like, I basically killed it. And he's like, no, you didn't. Like, get a box. I get this tiny box. Put it inside the box with like this towel, you know, just to kind of let it be able to rest. And I'm thinking, I don't know, it's not going to be able to fly again. Like, I totally messed it up. He's like, maybe you can. And I'm like, no. But I put it inside this box. It calms down a bit, you know, and nighttime's coming. Meanwhile, my husband keeps on vomiting. Like, he must have vomited badly, like, eight times or something. So at this point now, I'm worried about him. I'm like, let's go to urgent care. Like, this is not normal, you know? And he keeps saying he ate something bad at the barbecue. I'm like, no, because we all ate the same thing, and I'm fine. And then he's like, maybe I drank too much. I'm like, well, probably, but I don't think that's why you're vomiting. But he won't go to urgent care. And I'm like, why? Just go. He's like, no, I'll be fine. I just need to rest. So he goes to bed super early. I don't know, like 7 p.m. or something. In the morning, he's not feeling good, but a little bit better because now he's like, he vomited it out, you know? So he's thinking, okay, I feel better. He ends up having all these stomach issues. And I'm like, just go, like, go to urgent care. You know, we have insurance. Just go. And he's like, no, I'll be fine. Like, I don't know what it is about men in general and just being stubborn. Like, I'm stubborn. I know this. But I feel like he's even more stubborn. And I'm not going to want to suffer, right? If I can go somewhere and have something help me, I'm going to do that instead of just waiting. So what ended up happening is he waited like a week. He finally goes in, okay? Because I say, please go in, right? This is going on for a week, okay? Like, he chats with his family. His family's worried about him. They're saying he's not looking good. And because he keeps having these stomach things, he doesn't throw up again, but he's not feeling good, you know? And he gets headaches. He feels nauseous. Like, nothing's helping. So I'm at work. He sends me a screenshot, and the screenshot is Costco smoked salmon gets recalled because of Listeria. And I look at it and I'm like, oh shit. So he bought things from Costco on Thursday, and we had our barbecue on Friday. You know, so he got ribs and things from Costco. Turns out he bought this smoked salmon at Costco, and he ate it on Thursday. I was constantly working early in the morning. Like, I love smoked salmon, but I was always working early. And then when I get home, you know, I'd either go to Body Pump or we'd make dinner. So I never got a chance to eat the smoked salmon. But I kept seeing it in the fridge thinking, oh, you know, I should eat that. But I never got a chance. He's not feeling great after the barbecue. Like, he ate it maybe like Thursday or Friday, right? The smoked salmon. Like, he throws up Saturday. He eats it again on like Monday or Tuesday. So again, he's not feeling great, but he doesn't put it together, you know, because it's not like after he ate it, he threw up right away. So he sees this on Instagram. It's like, I don't know, some sort of a notice that he sees on Instagram because he's always scrolling through stuff. And he sends me a screenshot of this, like, Costco, you know, Instagram screenshot. And I'm like, oh no, like, he has Listeria. So like, before I knew this, before he knew this, I said to him, will you please go to the doctor? Like, promise me, you know, will you please go? He's like, I won't promise. So I'm like, what you're saying is you won't go. So he sees this from Costco. He ends up going and they do tests on him. Like, they do this test for COVID. He doesn't have it. They do this test for the flu. He doesn't have it. And it turns out he did get Listeria from the smoked salmon. And they gave him like antibiotics. They gave him like drugs against nausea. Anyway, like, who would have thought, right? And I'm thinking, that is terrible. I mean, Costco and these huge places that sell just in bulk, right? The reason it's cheaper is because everything's in bulk, but it doesn't mean it's better. I mean, just today, I saw a bag of broccoli at Walmart that also has Listeria, that it's been recalled. And never mind broccoli and salmon, what about all these eggs with the bird flu? I mean, a carton of eggs right now is $13 for 12 eggs. That's more than a dollar per egg. And just thinking about my donuts, I need 18 eggs to make 32 donuts. You know, that's a lot. I don't think I can raise my prices even more because, I mean, my prices are $13 for three items. For a farmer's market, I don't think I can go too high for a pastry, you know? If something's hot food, like a dinner, that's different. But people at a farmer's market have a different price point. So, I don't know, everything is so crazy right now. And it's because everything is like mass farming. If one bird gets something or one whatever, all the other 100 are messed up and they all have to die. It's just such a terrible method. Like, how does that make sense? It doesn't. Like, so anyway, he ended up getting Listeria, and after a week he finally went to the doctor, and I'm just like, I'm so glad you went. Like, these bacterial illnesses, I mean, they're gonna mess up your insides, you know. And he ate it again, so the same things just kept happening. Anyway, the same day I took the bird off of that sticky trap, I put him in the box and I checked on him a few hours later. He went under the towel and he basically died. So it's a week later. I know it's Tuesday, but today's my farmer's market and I'm not going to be able to put this out today, probably. So maybe Wednesday's a new day, but I've been going through it today to edit it. And it's funny because I'm rehashing everything in my head, you know, of everything that happened listening to this. And then the last sentence is, and basically he died, full stop. Like, that's it. I'm like, oh my God, that was so sad. Anyway, it was really sad. You know, he died. I put him in a paper towel and put him under a bush, like outside in the apartment complex. I was thinking burying him, but the ground is so firm because it never really rains that much. except this week it's supposed to rain a lot, but I didn't, and I thought, okay, it'll decompose. It was this tiny, tiny, tiny bird, you know? And then the next day at work, I told my sous chef about this, and she was talking about her compost, and I was like, can you put a bird in a compost? Like it's like mechanical compost. And she's like, no, Kat, you cannot put bones in a compost, which anyway was so pretty morbid to say that. But I was, as I was listening to the colonoscopy and the listeria, I was thinking the day after, actually, like I recorded this the same day as the colonoscopy and I felt like pretty good and upbeat. Like my voice is like super upbeat. But then the next day, like first of all, I had these awful nightmares that night. And I think it was the fentanyl. I used to have nightmares a lot growing up. And usually when I get stressed, I would have nightmares. And I haven't in a long, long time. But I did last night and they were awful. It was like terrorism nightmare. Anyway, that was pretty rough. I had all these physical therapies scheduled, like the next day. I guess I should have taken it easy and just relaxed, but I didn't because, you know, I have trouble relaxing. I did physical hand therapy, which helps my carpal tunnel. I went to body pump, and then as I'm doing body pump, I'm not feeling so good. Like something's off. I just feel off. And I thought because I feel off, maybe I should go to the gym. But no, I should have just sat there and not done anything. And it just on the inside, like inside of me, I didn't feel right. You know, so first, all these drugs wore off. When I was recording, they probably weren't gone yet, you know, and I knew that the next day, even 2 days later, like my urine smelled actually like very medicinal, and I knew that was the drug, like that was given to me. So yeah, I was in a different mindset, I guess. And then I had three appointments, right? I had my hand therapy, I had my psychological therapy, which I just started, and I had back therapy because I'm doing physical therapy for my back because I have starting signs of arthritis. Like, it sounds so awful, right? Like, I swear, this whole podcast is turning into doctors and body issues. Anyway, so I did all that and I did way too much. And then it just put me in this terrible, like, emotional state. I don't know. I just felt really terrible. Like, how can I feel so good one day and then awful the next? And it's totally because of just the drug and the process and everything, you know, like you really do need that time to just not do anything and have downtime. And that's when I realized I really don't have a connection to like inside my body. Sometimes, actually most of the time, I'm really bad at just taking a beat, you know, and listening to myself. My mind is so much stronger than my body, you know, and I think it's important for me to just kind of attune to that. I'm used to going out as far as hiking and all this and then just feeling good, you know, and it does make you feel good, but not when I've just had a colonoscopy, right? So anyway, I was listening to this whole thing thinking, oh, wow, like I did so much that day. You know, and that's the fentanyl. Like, wow. I was just surprised how much everything changed the next day. You know, it was like sunny, bright, happy. Next day, bad. So my point for all of this is listen to yourself, you know, like really take the time. And with everything going on, it's so hard. It's so hard to find that inner voice. Yeah, obviously I have issues with that. The thing is, craziness will always happen, right? That's life. I mean, as you heard from my stories, something always comes up. Again, you can't plan this stuff, right? Like, it'll just happen. That's why, yes, we have to make the most of every minute, you know, but not like a psycho. Like, still, I guess, smell the roses, right, as they say. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time. I'm Chef KB.